Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 758.5 up 3. Soft December, 687.5 up 2. December corn, 433.25 down 5. July, 462 down 5. November soybeans, 1269.5 down 18.5. July, 1236.75 down 14.75. October soybean meal, 422 down 240. October soybean oil, 4033 down 71. October live cattle, 128.50 up 20. October feeder cattle, 167.87.5 up 195. And October lean hogs are 90.32.5. They're up 7.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
If you didn't need enough chatter in the marketplace, we have now finance officials from the G20 nations telling the U.S., get your act together. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. They said, take urgent action to resolve political gridlock threatening to push the U.S. into default and send financial shockwaves around the global economy. Do you think that a debt crisis is actually looming next Tuesday, or do you believe we'll find some way? And I guess the bigger question is, if we don't, what does it mean for grains next week?
Yeah, that's a lot to chew on right now, Dave, because you've got a situation now in these markets where good news is back to being shut down compared to headline news, and you've got, even with the government shutdown and a lack of information coming from the government, and the Department of Energy, EIA, said this morning that they would now shut down and shutter because of the government shutdown. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably more likely than you were back in 2011 at an actual run-up against the debt ceiling on October 17th because the Republicans, in my opinion, have moved into a mindset over the course of the last 2 weeks that they want another grand bargain that they like they wanted in 2011, but they gave in on 2011. In their minds, they gave in on 2011 because they did not force the hand of the president and the Democrats to have another debt ceiling debate before the 2012 presidential election. And I think because of that and because of the rollout of the health care this past week or so has been really poor, I think they really think they have the upper hand in making the Democrats and the president come to the table. So I think they're more entrenched than they were in 2011. So that increases, in my opinion, the odds of hitting up against that October 17th deadline. What that means to me in the analysis continues to promote the idea that if the credit markets don't seize up, and that's a big if, but if the credit markets don't seize up, the dollar is not a good place to be long, and that's really what it's about at the end of the day, because you have a Japanese yen that is better than it was back in 2011. You even have a euro currency that is better than it was back in 2011 based upon the macroeconomic fundamentals. And I think, bottom lining it out, that you would even have emerging markets look more appealing than the United States if we ran up against this debt ceiling. So as long as credit markets don't freeze up, I actually think that this is probably more supportive for the dollar. And in fact, the gold market is hitting a multi-week lows today on ideas that the debt ceiling debate is going to be taken care of. If the reverse is true and the gold goes sharply higher, I think hard assets become more wanted by the market.
If the dollar, if those assets seize up and the dollar continues to its downward trend, and let's just be honest, it hasn't been a strong dollar of late. Does that imply that maybe next week is a golden opportunity for exporters to really tank up on not only hand-to-mouth needs, but longer-term needs for grains on the idea that they'll make more with the declining dollar than they would in the futures market grinding slower?
In theory, that's exactly right. But what we found out during the financial crisis of 08-09 is those same exporters who need lines of credit were not able to get those lines of credit because the short-term commercial paper market died. It froze up. It is the oil for the engine, and if it seizes up, then you lose your cylinders, and it doesn't matter how much gas you have in the tank and how much you have in the carburetor. It's not running. And so that's the problem. That's the stickiness of this market that we have to walk through as we get closer to that October 17th, October 20th deadline.
Meanwhile, December corn found a new low overnight.
Yes, it did, and we've got more leaked documents. You know, it's interesting to see that the EPA is 95% shut down right now, but somehow a leaked document.
Bloomberg got a hold of some paperwork.
Someone somehow got some paperwork that was published from the latest accounts around the end of August, early September, a recommendation to the OMB that we were going to see a mandate decrease the renewable fuels. So we saw overnight lows, new contract lows in corn last night. We're seeing the bean oil play catch up with the market now starting to say, wait a minute, this isn't bullish for the biodiesel futures, or biodiesel scenario either. So bean oil is also tanking with the idea that this mandate is going to hurt it as well, and also because the crude oil is breaking as well. So we've got new weekly lows, new 2 to 3 week lows in November beans, and new contract lows in corn as this headline news and the weather team up with harvest and say, why would I want to buy it here?
So now we've got some lines in the sand to look at, and one of them is December corn around 425 on a lead month option continuation chart.
Yes, and you know what else you have is a long-term trend line in the monthly corn chart, the right around 424.5. And it's interesting to note, Dave, that on the monthly stochastics, the oscillators that would suggest new potential buyers, new potential sellers, the monthly stochastic oscillators I run right now at 4% is the lowest we've been since 2005 when we carved out the $1.86 low back in the late part of 2005. And so we're literally over a 68% retracement from that $1.86 low to that, what was it, 8-something high. And we're now 8.32.5 high from 2012. We're now talking about being over 68% correction from that move, and we're talking about stochastics and the potential of new sellers being the lowest since we had the 2005 low. So I think as this Columbus Day holiday rolls around, I think we really want to keep track of the weekly and monthly charts and keep track of the harvest progress, because I think there's going to be an opportunity here to buy back some corn.
Is there enough carry in the corn market that you could say cash is king in the corn market at the moment?
I think so, and I think the basis is widened out enough that you can say that at this point in time. I think that the carry market could go a little bit wider, but it's plenty wide enough to make cash is king. And, you know, that's the ongoing debate is, do you sell the carry for March, May, and store it on farm?
Right.
I'm pretty much not willing to do that at this point. I think the basis is too wide. I think the futures is too low, and I'm not really recommending that at all if it's on farm. And even commercial storage, I'm entertaining that if you're doing something that is, you know, 5 or 10 cents in and then 3 cents a month. I think that will also pay if you can keep it short term, meaning get it done by January 1, January 15 time period. That's kind of my mindset. And even on the soybeans, at this price level, on-farm storage is still starting to be is still recommended, and I'm starting to even look at commercial storage for beans. Why? Because I've got bought puts, and because meal prices and demand in China are hitting contract highs, lack of South American competition on old crop, and the bean harvest is very advanced in many areas. Maybe 40% by Monday east of the Mississippi would be my guess.
Does it make any sense then that if you have storage for beans, to go ahead and not use that storage, sell them off the combine and get a call option?
I don't think so. I mean, I could see where producers and other analysts would say, go ahead and let the beans go. If you're getting 70 bushel yields and you're still getting a 12.70 price, that's still good money, revenue per acre. But I would defend it right away with a January call. The bean charts, the weekly bean charts, are looking almost identical, and the monthly chart is looking almost identical to the corn right now, even though the beans are still carrying, I think, a fundamental premium. One thing that beans don't have going for them is, recall back during the Farm Progress Show, producers really thought that the corn had missed the heat and was going to be okay, but the beans were going to get hurt. That's not being seen so much in central Illinois and Indiana like people had thought by many accounts at this point in time.
Okay.
So that's where the expectations by the market may actually be lower.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.